Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has defended a new bill on the restitution of church property seized by the communist regime. The industry and trade minister has said that the expansion of the Temelín nuclear plant is not a purely economic issue, and Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has commented on the recent corruption scandal surrounding former Prague mayor Pavel Bem. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has defended a new bill on the restitution of church property seized by the communist regime. He said that if church property was not restituted by the government by means of new legislation, churches and religious societies could sue the state to claim back their possessions. He added that the idea that the Czech state was returning something to churches and religious society was a fallacy, since it had never been the rightful owner of that property in the first place. The new bill on the restitution of church property was approved by the government in January and is currently being discussed in the lower house. Industry and Trade Minister Martin Kuba has said that the expansion of the Temelín nuclear plant should not be judged just from an economic angle, but that its role in ensuring the independence of the Czech Republic from energy imports should also be considered. Speaking at a conference on Thursday, he commented on recent speculations that the multi-billion crown tender for the completion of the plant may not be awarded in the end. He said that the construction of two new reactors at the plant was a strategic and decisive question in Czech energy politics and therefore could not be looked at purely in terms of its economic cost-benefit ratio. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has commented on the recent corruption scandal surrounding former Prague mayor and MP for the Civic Democrats, Pavel Bem. On Thursday, he recommended that Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who is also a member of the Civic Democrats, go to a monastery and repent for 40 days. Mr. Schwarzenberg has also made it clear that as the leader of coalition partner TAP09, it is not his responsibility to deal with problems within the senior coalition party. Pavel Bem suspended his membership on Monday amidst mounting pressure following the publication of taped phone conversation between him and notorious Prague lobbyist Roman Janošek. Pensioners groups have announced a demonstration against planned cuts to the state budget set to take place on May 30th in Prague. The protest is organized by a senior citizens' rights umbrella organization which opposes a planned freeze on the gradual increase of pension payments, which in the past kept pensions in balance with the rate of price increases. Protesters are calling for a postponement of the pension reform to 2016 and have announced that they are prepared to negotiate with the Prime Minister, the President, and both chambers of Parliament. One of the organizers said that this demonstration marks the first time in the Czech Republic that pensioners are taking their discontent to the streets. And now let's have a brief look at the weather. Conditions over the next few days are expected to cool down a bit, with cloudy skies and scattered showers, and daytime highs of about 14 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, a search is underway for the new education minister after last week's resignation of the embattled Josef Dobeš. Then we look at some exciting action in the Czech Hockey League playoffs. And later, we find out whether any UFOs were finally spotted in the skies over the Czech Republic. That and more coming up, so please stay with us. Finding a successor to outgoing Education Minister Josef Dobeš, who resigned last week over planned budget cuts at the ministry, is seeing delays and most definitely will not be sorted out by the end of the month. The Public Affairs Party wants assurances that Mr. Dobeš's successor won't be without options, arguing that extra funds should be found so that teacher salaries are untouched. But others within the centre-right coalition charge there is plenty of room within the Education Ministry to save. In their view, slashing teacher salaries should be far from necessary. Jan Willinger has the details.
Who replaces Education Minister Jozef Dobezh can expect plenty of headaches from day one. On the table are numerous problems that needed addressing yesterday. The mismanagement of EU funds, highly criticized university reforms, and a controversial decision to extend accreditation at the troubled law school in Plzeň. Most of all, Dobezh's successor will have to deal with 2.5 billion crowns in planned budget cuts that the previous minister rejected for fear he would have to slash teacher salaries. For this reason, ahead of negotiations with the other parties in government, Public Affairs wants assurances that the next minister will be allowed to breathe. Party chairman Radek Jón says this.
For teachers not to be affected, it will be necessary to introduce registration fees at universities. We need to give the minister, who will face calls within the coalition to do something while suffering cuts, some room to maneuver. A solution that is economically viable needs to be found and agreed. It would be suicidal to take up the post without knowing the answers to this.
But some members within Topo 9, one of the parties in government, see the situation differently. Anna Putnova, a Topo 9 MP, told Czech radio's Radio Česko, for example, in her view there were plenty of areas where the education ministry could save money.
I don't think that Minister Dobezh left because of the cuts, but because he was up to his neck in problems. Regarding the cuts, there are a number of ill-conceived projects at the ministry, as well as a slew of unanswered questions. But with a little goodwill, these could be sorted out, and neither the education sector nor teachers would suffer.
None more than Public Affairs, however, are aware that the clock is ticking for a replacement and that all involved will have to get down to business soon. Although its leadership agreed on Wednesday that teacher salaries would not be touched, in the end, concessions made may have to be their own. According to reports on Thursday, they may opt for financing the education ministry partially with funds from other ministries, namely the ministries of regional development and transportation, where they have ministers. The outgoing Mr. Dobezh, though, has already slammed that idea and his party and threatened to resign his seat in the Chamber of Deputies in protest. As for a successor to Jozef Dobezh, so far unknown. One person being mentioned as a possible candidate is Kateřina Klasnová, the deputy chairperson of the lower house and wife of Vít Bárta, the embattled politician who is currently on trial, often referred to as the de facto head of public affairs.
Jan Wellinger with that report. We'll be, of course, following the developments at the education ministry and within the coalition government. Let us know your views of the Czech cabinet, which is going through some difficult times right now, as anti-government sentiments seem to be on the rise. But now, let's talk hockey. In the Czech Extraliga, the semifinals' best-of-seven series are underway, with the Liberec White Tigers going ahead 2-1 against Pardubice on Wednesday in some really nerve-wracking action. In the other semifinal series, however, Kometa Brno is set to surprise just about anyone, including their most devoted fans. Having finished 10th in the regular season, Kometa knocked out the winner Sparta Prague. Now the Brno side is leading the regular season runners-up Plzeň 2-0. I spoke to Czech TV commentator and former international player Martin Hosták about what made the playoffs underdogs the hottest candidate for the title.
Kometa Brno has a good team, good quality players in the team, but they were quite nervous and they had their ups and downs during the regular season. And then they had some problem because they didn't make a playoffs last 3 years and the pressure on them was quite huge. But now when they made the playoffs, suddenly they loosen up and they get the momentum on their side. So I think that they are in a good way to be a big surprise for this playoffs.
In the other semifinal series, Pardubice is pitted against Liberec, and Liberec last night went 2-1 ahead in the series. Which of these teams do you think is more poised to reach the finals eventually?
For me, it's the Liberec favorite for semifinal, and it stays that way. But I think Pardubice has a big problem because their best player, Petr Koukal, is injured. He's still playing under pills, but I think he's not okay and he doesn't perform as we are used to. But Liberec is playing quite passionately and they play very well. On the other hand, I think they lost a lot of power and I'm not sure if they will have enough strength to fulfill the fourth game tonight. We will see. It's going to be interesting because Pardubice used the fourth line last night quite a lot and they play well. On the other hand, Liberec play mostly or three lines, so which means they lost some power and energy. We'll see how it will be tonight, but Liberec is a favorite.
There have been quite a lot of injuries. Most recently, Plzeň forward, the American player Nick Johnson, was seriously injured. Kometa also had a thing from the series from Sparta about three players who were knocked out and are out for the rest of the season. What do you think of the referees? Do you think they're up to the par, so to speak? Do you think they're up to the game in these two series?
I don't see a very big problem with the referees. Of course, they have better days and bad days, which we have seen during the second game in Pardubice against Liberec. But on the other hand, they have their qualities too. And I think injuries come with the playoffs. Usually, it doesn't really matter how much you blow the whistle and how many players you're sitting in the penalty box because. You play on the edge. If there is a playoff, there is nowhere to back off. You have to win, and you go on the edge of the rules, on the edge of the injury. So, obviously, some injuries might come. Unfortunately, it's really serious for Nick Johnson. I hope he's fine, but there are smaller injuries for almost every player. If you see, the games are quite tight and a lot in the stake.
And finally, Mr. Hosták, Czech bookmakers favored Plzeň before the start of the series. Now, Plzeň is in some serious problems against Kometa Brno. Who do you think looks best poised to, first of all, to reach the finals and then to win the title eventually?
Right now, Kometa looks really strong. But I'm not sure if they can go all the way from 10th place. It would be a really big surprise. But still, they have a really big advantage against Pilsen now, and Liberec doesn't look that strong as they looked in the quarterfinals, so Kometa could be a favorite for a title right now.
I was talking there to ice hockey commentator and former Philadelphia Flyers forward Martin Hosták. You can follow the Czech Extraliga playoffs online as Czech TV broadcasts the matches on its website, cskatelevize.cz, where you can also access some of the past games. As usual, we welcome any comments, including your tips for the Hockey League winners this season. You can share your ideas by email at english@radio.cz or send us a letter to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, Christian Falvey with Panorama, which was first broadcast in August 2009.
Last weekend, there were reports from around the country of strange lights in the sky, flying about, flaring up, flaring out, chasing each other. It's true, unidentified flying objects do not just swerve by the Czech Republic on their way to the States, they are here too. And if you thought the Czechs too skeptical to notice, you were as wrong as I was. And last weekend wasn't the first time. Author Karol Rašín told me of his own earlier experience.
It was in the summer, I'd been in a cottage of my friend, and we sit in on the garden, and it's starting to dark, and we saw on the top of the trees a silver ball. This silver ball has very strange move, up and down and a zigzag, and we said, so that's very strange, no airplane or no helicopter can do this. We estimated the ball 5 meters in diameter. And we were observing this strange ball 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then the ball started to disappear, and all of a sudden, like a flash, and the ball was vanished, absolutely vanished.
Stories like this one, especially when set to a bit of Philip Glass music, have to pique your curiosity. And whether you have seen blazing, zigzagging, pulsating, or simply strange lights in the heavens or not, and I for one have not, their occasional occurrence is undebatable. The question is, though, whether they are simply unexplained phenomena or mysterious extraterrestrial visitations, and for many who believe the latter is the case, the Czech Republic can seem an unfriendly place in which to believe it, as Mr. Rashin has also found.
Czech people are very skeptical in their nature. It has roots in the history. It's not easy to persuade some Czechs to believe something. They are debunkers, and they are not open-minded. It's part of culture.
Truly, the impression one gets from a lot of things about Czechs is that they are a hard lot to convince in the absence of hard evidence staring them down. Just ask the Pope. In the case of God, the empirical evidence flinched first, and a broad majority of Czechs are unimpressed with him. And they can even be quite vicious skeptics. I remember, for example, the last end-of-the-world prophecy in Prague being met with a public burning of fortune-telling books at the enormous metronome that stands over Prague like a Cristo Redentor. I, for one, had always had the feeling that Czechs were basically skeptics in everything, until one Jiří Grigar debunked my theory. Dr. Grigar is the best-known astronomer in the Czech Republic and a founding member of the Club of True Czech Skeptics, Sisyphos, a large group of academics who have waged a half-serious war on Czech gullibility.
No, it is not true. Actually, we have the experience from our skeptical club, Sisyphos, that the most of Czech public is very, say, inclined to believe to all kind of nonsense. It is true that the Czechs are not very much religious. To the contrary, I think that most people are either agnostic or atheist. What is surprising to me is that in spite of this, they are believers to all kind of nonsense. And among them is the notion that UFOs, which actually exist, are connected with the extraterrestrial civilizations. That's the problem. In my opinion, it's because the Czechs are not very religious that they do believe to many nonsenses, not only concerning UFOs, but very other nonsenses that are to be blamed for. So I believe that in some statistics, even the superstition in Czech Republic is the highest in European Union.
Unlike in the UK, for example, there is no Czech ministry that tallies the number of UFO sightings, though some say, of course, they're all lying. But the Prague Observatory alone receives some 100 calls a year, and that is an extremely high number. Consider the fact that in the UK, which has 6 times the population, there are only slightly more sightings recorded. When people don't understand what they've seen in the sky, they often call Jiří Svoboda, an astronomer at Prague's Štefaníková Observatory.
On the sky, for example, a bright planet on the sky, something like this, we have about 4 calls for one day. Normally we have 1 call per 1 week.
Your job is to professionally watch the heavens. You've never seen anything strange or unexplainable in the sky?
I haven't seen something strange for me.
Project Zare tries to balance an avid interest in the possibilities with sober investigation of celestial events, and it too is one of the first places people turn to when reporting UFO sightings. Vladimír Šiška heads the project.
In recent years, there have been around 100 sightings a year. Of that, we are able to unequivocally explain about 40% on average, meaning we determine definitively that was a plane. That was a meteorite. That was light from a discotheque. A little more than 50% of cases have to be closed on the grounds of insufficient evidence, meaning we were simply unable to say what the object was, and it's an unidentified object on the grounds of poor evidence. And then there are cases around 2 to 10% where, though we have enough information, we cannot explain the phenomena, where they are too uncommon to assign to any known category, and they remain unidentifiable flying objects.
2 facts. 1, there are inexplicable phenomena in the world seen by human eyes. And 2, human nature abhors inexplicability. Listen to this and try your hardest not to be intrigued. Cue Philip Glass. It occurred on the afternoon of July the 12th, 1987, at an airbase in South Moravia.
A small airfield issued an order for helicopter, fight helicopter, to follow a very strange object. It was visible on radar. They followed the object, and at first they didn't see it, but all of a sudden the object appeared in front of them. The crew of the fighter described the object as a wingless, cigar-shaped, no markings, and they estimated the speed approximately about 600 kilometers per hour. And at the moment, an air traffic controller told the pilots to shoot it down.
This part, I might add, is eminently believable in keeping with the timeless principle of human nature: if you do not understand a thing, kill it. The rest is, at the very least, interesting. As they took aim on the object, it began to maneuver erratically, moving towards the sun whenever the pilots got a mark on it, and rushing the helicopter when it went into a cloud. This continued until the helicopter returned to base for lack of fuel, and shortly later the unidentified flying cigar went off the radar. Tantalizing stuff. Surely even Dr. Grigar must be impressed. He wasn't.
The problem is that when you observe something that you never seen before, you could hardly tell what are you observing.
To be good enough for science, neither a few human eyes nor even the human radar can confirm the fleeting occasion of something as incredible as an extraterrestrial visitation. Human vision, he points out, even that of a pilot, cannot determine distance, size, or velocity fairly, and even technology, radar, is subject to echoes created by anomalies in the atmosphere.
So that's the general problem, that people simply do not know about a rare phenomena in the atmosphere, and therefore they are very much surprised or even scared.
And what you say implies something which is, I'd say, equally fascinating to the prospect of UFOs, that there are unidentified phenomena in the atmosphere and there are other mysteries to be discovered.
Right. There are very rare phenomena, and this is difficult to, say, interpret them in correct physical terms, or you cannot make a model for these phenomena in your laboratory because it is so rare.
Call them what you will, there are strange things in the sky, and what UFO believers and skeptics can no doubt agree on is to keep an open mind to all the possibilities. Like Hamlet said when he saw the ghost, welcome what is strange and wonderful, because there are greater things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy.
That edition of Panorama was by Christian Falvey. We are now rounding off our show with a rerun of ABC Check, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome again to our Czech teaching program, introducing Czech idioms featuring various farm crops. Today we look at fruit. The Czech word for fruit is ovoce. The symbolic meaning of the word is the results of a long-time endeavor, such as in the expression
jeho práce přinesla ovoce,
his work bore fruit, or in the Old Testament phrase fruit of labor,
ovoce práce.
Another biblical reference is the forbidden fruit,
zakázané ovoce.
Although we instantly recognize the idiom as related to the story of Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, interestingly, the phrase forbidden fruit does not appear anywhere in the Bible. Although the forbidden fruit in Eden is usually depicted as an apple, most likely it was an apricot, a pomegranate, or a fig. Fruits in the language have metaphorical meanings based on their form, taste, or texture. A peach-like skin,
pleť jako broskev,
is smooth and healthy-looking, peaches and cream, as people say in English. On the other hand,
hlava jako meloun,
a head like a watermelon, is big and swollen. The sour taste is generally considered unpleasant, and therefore sour fruits stand for unpleasant emotions. His face looks like he's just bitten a lemon.
Tváří se, jako by kousl do citrónu.
No explanation is needed. To bite a sour apple,
kousnout do kyselého jablka,
means to gather your courage and face an unpleasant situation. Sour grapes,
kyselé hrozny,
is an internationally recognized idiom, originally coined in a fable. The fox in the fable was not tall enough to reach for the tantalizingly ripe grapes in the vineyard, and so he said they were sour anyway. The expression now stands for the denial of the desirability of something after one has found out that it cannot be reached or acquired. The plums,
švestky,
are a traditional fruit in these parts, and to catch someone gathering plums,
nachytat někoho na švestkách,
means to catch someone in the act of committing something wrong, to catch someone red-handed, just like a little boy who has climbed over the fence to steal the plums in the neighbor's orchard. If we expect something to be short-lived, we can say
to nevydrží do švestek,
literally, it won't last until the plums, meaning it won't last till the end of the summer when the plums are ripe, it won't last too long. But our Czech language series will certainly outlive the plum harvest, because we still have to look at forest fruit and fruit trees in our future lessons. But next, we'll take a closer look at the most common type of fruit in this region, apples and pears. Till then,
nashledanou!
ABC Czech by Pavla Horáková was the final part of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any questions or comments, write to us at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or at the postal address of Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.